Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that. Yeah.
Here comes the.
No.
Here comes the.
Ooh.
Here comes the.
Y'all don't really want it like that.
So I keep big bills up in my heart, all look dirty like blood. So ain't got no twist in my head, but I'm still dreadful. And I got plenty of bread, so I go to bed for a lot.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 66 of The Locker Room, brought to you by our friends at Manscaped. Manscaped is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers you precision-engineered tools for your family jewels, so make your testies their besties and get 20% off plus free shipping with our code LOCKA at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with our code LOCKA at manscaped.com. I promise you, your balls will thank you. We have an awesome episode today with Jeff Bookaboom, New York Rangers legend, Edmonton Oilers legend, and NHL legend, four-time Stanley Cup champion. Super excited to have him on and have you guys hear from him. I mean, it's an honor.
Ooh.
Honor for us to have him, someone we've looked up to, or at least I've looked up to for a very long time. But what's up, fellas? How you doing? Maxie, I know you had an interesting weekend.
I did have an interesting weekend. I'm in Florida right now, in Cappy's neck of the woods, actually. I'm
Tigers in, out of the cage.
I'm in Delray. I was in Naples.
Guy. How long are you there till, Maxie?
I think I'm heading back Thursday. It really just depends.
Right before the Masters, right before Prime Masters.
Yeah, it really just depends. Someone I work with is in Miami, so I might go and do some work there. So if he's staying, honestly, it's so nice down here, I might just stay.
You should just do what what Portnoy did that one time during the coronavirus or whatever. He literally just like went down to Florida for a week and ended up staying there for like 3 months or something like that. I saw. Just might as well just do that and work from down there, sit by the pool and work.
Yeah,
I don't know if Maxie's funding is as much as Dave Portnoy.
Yeah, family down there, like that.
Not family down there.
Or finances, I guess. I don't know why I said funding, but
yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I can be flying back like that. But if I like, I'll stay down if I can. I'll stay down here till I have to head back.
Yeah. Well, I'm currently.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm currently still injured. Actually started skating today early.
Actually
started skating Monday. So it feels good to get back on the ice. I'm just doing a bunch of rehab and shit like that, itching to get back out there. You know how it is. But yeah, I was excited that you guys got Booga Boomsy on. Obviously, I was upset that I missed it. Boomsy, dude, it's just such a good nickname.
It is the fucking greatest.
Just catches the ear, or whatever the saying is. Catches all over the place today, but
rolls off the tongue.
But yeah, dude,
definitely not.
Boom, there's no tongue involved.
And then obviously, March Madness National Championship game the other night was pretty fucking nuts, if you ask me. I know Johnny and I both did say Baylor, not obviously from the beginning of the tournament, but when it came down to Baylor and the Zags, we both said Baylor. Maxie was heavy Zags.
I was riding the Zags from the beginning.
Just an absolute blowout, dude. Crazy. I was not expecting a blowout. I was hoping for a better game.
But we got probably one of the greatest college basketball games I think I've ever seen.
What, the UCLA Gonzaga one?
Yeah.
I honestly was drunk and I missed it. I fell asleep, missed the entire game.
Typical Laz fashion. But yeah, Max, you're right. That game was spectacular. That game could have been like the national championship, not from like a skill standpoint, obviously, because Baylor won, but just from like a, you know, like how close it was.
Yeah.
I mean, I was just going to say, anyone who bet Gonzaga, that was probably like the most miserable experience. Like, they didn't even have a chance from the start. Like, from the start of the game, what was it, like 11-1? Like, there was just no hope for Gonzaga that entire game. Like, if I bet Gonzaga in that game, that would have been like the most miserable 2 hours.
Here's my question for you. What do you think was more miserable, betting on Gonzaga or betting on the Chiefs in this past Super Bowl?
I feel like, I don't know. It's very close because I feel like in both instances, like anyone who bet the Chiefs, anyone who bet Gonzaga is like, they're going to make a push. Like everyone, I feel like bet the Chiefs second half at halftime of the Super Bowl, like, because it's Mahomes and you know Mahomes can go off at any moment of the game, where I feel like people felt the same about Gonzaga in this scenario. I don't know. I think for the magnitude of the hype around the Super Bowl, maybe the Super Bowl Chiefs bet is worse because
both were miserable games.
No, but like the battle of Brady versus Mahomes, everyone just wanted a better game because that was like the best quarterback matchup, I feel like, in NFL history. Whereas like, yeah, these were two amazing teams in college basketball this year, but no like goats of any sort, you know?
I think both terrible. At the end of the day, though, looking back at the tournament as a whole, it was really cool to see just like some no-name teams that just got in and made splashes. I know Max is smiling over there. what's your team that you were like, I knew it from the beginning when we called it, when we were like,
oh, Abilene Christian.
Abilene Christian.
I didn't like know it. I'd never watched like a few highlights and read a few articles on them.
Yeah. He just liked them because they were D2 and they went D1. He thought it was a cool story. Yes,
that's so fucking cool, man.
Exactly. I did want to get into a quick little topic, but also, did you guys see, but the Space Jam preview, LeBron James finally dropped, which is pretty fucking sick. I thought it was just like...
Did you like it?
I was like, I need to watch this just like on some type of drugs, which I don't do, but I need to watch on some crazy ass shit. Because like, did you not, the preview was, it looked like it was in like outer space or on some like, you know what I mean?
I mean, it is called Space Jam, so it is outer space.
This might be an unpopular opinion, but I didn't really love the trailer.
I hated it. I think that is the popular opinion.
Oh, it is.
Big fan of I think his name's Bryce James, his son, and that he's like the main, not the main character, but that's his son in real life.
Is it? I don't even know that.
That's his, not Bronny, Bryce, I think his name is. That's
really
pretty cool. I thought that was cool. See, you guys like it more?
I wasn't sure if that was his son. I thought it wasn't positive though.
I'm like 95% sure it looked identical to him.
It's okay. No one checks us for facts anyway, but
yeah.
Speaking of that, boys, I was thinking of like all the athletes that made like the transition to film. I feel like I would be so good in film or like something stupid, but just thinking of like all like the athletes, obviously Michael Jordan, LeBron James, fucking just so many, just all the good ones, the bad ones. Shout out to our boy Dane, though, by the way, locker room guest, making the transition, doing a hell of a job as a scary creature. But I was thinking, like, what are some of your top ones? You guys want to do a draft or something?
First off, I'd pay to see you act in a Hollywood movie. I would actually pay good money.
What role do you think I'd be good in the movie?
Turtle.
No, he's so not Turtle.
No,
you don't. Cappy walks around in like Lululemon t-shirts and flip flops. He's not like what?
I feel like Turtle has style.
Yeah, I'm saying Turtle wears like jerseys and is like a hip like.
Yeah, no, Turtle's got the it's like he's more of like a.
Swaggier than Cap.
Yeah, way swaggier than me. Are you kidding me? I have terrible style. If it wasn't for court working at Lululemon, I would walk around fucking in sweatpants and a knockoff tee. But let's get back to the topic at hand.
Yeah, walk around not naked. Not my style.
Yeah, I walk around butt-ass naked just because I don't know what the hell to put on. But yeah, you guys want to do a draft? I'm thinking like our top three athletes.
Lead us off. Lead us off.
Movies. Oh, you guys want to let me start? Okay, I'll start. I don't feel like the obvious one, but I kind of want to take is The Rock.
Okay.
Just because he's been in so much shit and so many films. What's up?
Are we doing specific roles I want to do a specific role.
Oh, yeah. You want to do like the athlete in what movie?
The character.
Okay, that's fine.
Is that cool? Do you want to restart that?
Yeah. No. We're good. We'll continue right here. Then I'm going to take Shaquille O'Neal in Grown Ups.
Okay.
That's a good one. Max, okay. You going second?
I'm sticking with the same guy. I'm going Shaq and Curb. Shaq. Oh, dude, I'm gonna send you both this episode. Everyone listening, must watch. It's this episode in Curb. I mean, Shaq plays Shaq. Larry has courtside seats, and he stretches his legs, and so Shaq runs, trips on Larry's feet, and he's out for an extended period of time. Like I guess it was a knee injury. Mm-hmm. And everyone hated Larry. So Larry was complaining about like, he has to do all these favors. And the irony for it was he tripped Shaq. So all these people were like, we don't want your help. We don't want this. It's great. And he has one of the greatest lines at a Starbucks. He walks into Starbucks and he says, yeah, I'll take a vanilla bullshit. Because you know, there's like all those different Starbucks concoctions. Great.
I guess.
Great bit.
First round, what are we doing? Three rounds?
Yeah. We'll do three.
We're doing snake, so I got two.
Yeah, I really hope you don't take my second one because, like, my second one, I probably should have took my first one, and I'm pissed about it. But go ahead.
All right. Well, this one, I'm going. Oh, I think I know your second one. I know. I'm gonna. This isn't in my list, but I think I know.
No, don't say it.
No, I'm gonna say it. I'm gonna say yours first.
No.
I know you. Yours is for sure. Clay Matthews and Pitch Perfect too.
Nope. It's good one though. Really, I that would have been my three. But go.
Oh wow, that's not even in your draft.
No, it was in, that was my third one. That was my third one.
Okay. So sorry, I stole that one. I'm not stealing it, but I know you, and I knew that would be on your list. But I'm gonna stick in the basketball theme, and I'm gonna go LeBron James and Trainwreck with Amy Schumer and Bill Hader.
That's a really funny movie.
I was gonna take that one too. That's a good one, and he's kind of like weird in that role that he plays, but it's kind of good. Like it's not bad.
Well, it's funny that like he like splits the bill with Bill Hader, and Bill Hader's like, exactly. Fuck you, you're paying, you're LeBron James. And yeah. Like he's saying, why don't you come visit in Cleveland? You came to Miami all the time. He goes, yeah, that's Miami. Like, because Miami's the same as Cleveland. That was pretty funny. Like he's actually in a lot of shit.
Yeah, 100%. All right. Max is up?
I got another one.
Last goes again.
Fucker. All right, go.
All right. So my next one, not a major role, but Paul Kariya in Mighty Ducks 3. On the broadcast.
Yep.
I thought I'd stick with Buka Boom, the old school hockey, and Paul Kariya. Maxie, have you seen that?
I'll tell you this. I have no hockey guys. This guy, I'm doing Terry Crews, Cheeseburger Eddie.
Terry Crews, Cheeseburger
Eddie. He's a football player.
No, yeah, I know. That's fine. That's fine. You take that one, Max. Yeah, Cheeseburger Eddie, longest yard. Yeah. Matt, come on.
Wait, what did Terry Crews play?
Longest yard, Cheeseburger Eddie. He played Cheeseburger
He was a football player.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He's got the fries that can cross your eyes.
Come on, buddy.
Man.
Oh, yeah. And that, thank you, Max. You don't have to talk anymore. That leads me into my second pick. It's Terry Crews in White Chicks.
Oh, okay. He's great in that one. Yep.
I never even knew his real name.
What's the song that they love to sing in that when he picks him up?
It's A Thousand Miles.
Yeah, A Thousand Miles. Yeah.
Riding down.
That's a song everyone knows how to play on the piano.
All right, and then it's a snake skis, right? So
yeah, I'm going to go again. This is your last one.
Yeah, and I'm just going to take an off the board one, and I'm going to go a current athlete that's still playing in Kyrie Irving in Uncle Drew.
I never saw it.
No? I've always thought like before they made the movie and he was like always doing those clips of like dressing up and going out and just like showing people up. I thought it was unreal.
I'll be honest. I think I like the clips that they did before the movie more than the actual movie.
Yeah.
Accurate. These kids are playing checkers. I'm playing chess.
Accurate statement.
My last one is the great Khali, also in The Longest Yard, just because I love the scene where he goes, "Oh, I play."
Is that the ping pong guy? The big monster?
The ping pong guy. He's like, by the way, whatever his name is, Papa John. By the way, Papa John's our safety. Yeah. And he goes, "Oh, I play."
Yeah, I'm always playing ping pong. Yeah, great movie. Is he fucking moving?
Yeah, like he headbutts. He's like, "Oh, I play." After headbutting his head on the wall for like an hour.
What do you got?
My last one. Surprise, Max didn't drop any baseball players. I'm gonna go with Roger Clemens, Derek Jeter, and Anger Management.
No, just one.
No, but it's like a combined role.
Is it?
Yeah, they're in the dugout, and Adam Sandler ruins the Yankee game national anthem, and Roger Clemens is like, "Man, my arm's starting to get cold." And Derek Jeter goes, "Cool down, Rocket. Goose Fraba."
Oh yeah,
Fraba. Such a low key part.
That's a great movie by Sandler.
Can't take two. It doesn't matter which.
Well, no, but it's either one of them.
And he's like saying like that one like small like cameo.
Okay,
I mean Derek Jeter's also in The Other Guys.
He is.
You shot Derek Jeter. What the fuck? You shot me. I'm Derek Jeter.
He's an icon.
That's a good one.
Before we get into the next topic, though, I do want to say my own opinion in the worst athlete performance in a movie, and that is by far Kevin Durant, Thunderstruck. That movie was garbage.
I didn't even see that.
Never seen it. Never known it.
Oh, my God. It was like kind of like a Like Mike remake, or I guess not Like Mike, but a kid takes Kevin Durant's basketball talent and like – it's just this unreal basketball player, and Kevin Durant sucks in the NBA. And it's like this horrible remake movie. It's like the cringiest, like Disney version of a movie, but
almost like Space Jam in a way, where with the Monstars.
Kind of, but it's almost like Mike, where it's a kid who has all the talent. Right. It just happens to have Kevin Durant like lose his talent, which is where it kind of is similar, but that movie's terrible. Don't watch
it. And then what? Kevin Durant at the end says, "Yo, man, I need my talent back."
Basically, yeah. Pretty much. It's terrible, terrible movie.
And like, dude, I actually like wanted to say like Michael Jordan in Space Jam, like the first one, so bad, but that's just like so predictable because he was so good in that. And that's just like a classic. You can't fault that at all.
Well, that's the one thing too. I love LeBron, but I don't even know if making Space Jam 2 is like
worth it with him.
I mean,
it's like worth it is, because but the first one was so good.
Yeah, like it might destroy the legacy of Space Jam, I feel like.
I don't think so. That's just like the new Mighty Ducks show they put on Disney Plus. Like everyone's like, it's average, it's nothing. But like it's still like necessary. Yes. You can't just like not make one.
I kind of agree with Laz here.
Yeah, you know?
Because I think LeBron wants to be like, he wants to be known as like the best.
I want
to
be like Mike.
And like he's going to get memed if this movie stinks. And I think
I think he's prepared to get memed regardless. I think you get asked to get fucking Space Jam 2, you're doing it. But regardless, I think it's like if a movie's that good, everyone's gonna say, okay, we want to get the second one, regardless of what, what we want to see the second one, just to see how it's good or bad.
Well, I'm just saying, think about Anchorman 2 as opposed to Anchorman.
Oh like, yeah, right. not as good, but still after I saw Anchorman 1, I was like, fuck, I want to see a second one right away.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I'm gonna like obviously I'm gonna see Space Jam, I'm probably gonna love it, but the legacy of Space Jam is just like not gonna be the same now.
No, you're right. You're right. Definitely the legacy will be tarnished. But obviously I wasn't a part of this interview with Jeff Boogaboom, which was pretty unfortunate. I would have loved to be a part of it, and I've only listened to bits and pieces of it. And I was actually curious to see like what your guys' coolest parts of the interview were, without giving anything away, because we're gonna kick it over soon. But what were you guys, besides his last name, obviously?
Okay, well that was one of mine.
just one little quick thing.
I think you guys just really got to wait to hear when he talks about the parade, because it like legitimately gave me chills.
Yeah,
like that was actually really broke it down.
That was part of mine, and it's funny the timing that we did this interview, because I went to McSorley's this past weekend, which is like one of the oldest bars in New York, and the guy who owns the bar, his name is Gregory, like looked at my teeth and he goes, "You play hockey?" I was like, yeah, like I love, you know, hockey player, love hockey. And he was like, "You Ranger fan, Islander fan?" I said, "Ranger fan." He goes, "Come outside," and started showing me pictures of when the Rangers brought the cup to McSorley's. It was like really cool. Yeah. And we had this like full on like 5-minute conversation about how just the history of McSorley's and the Rangers players coming in. And I thought it was like really ironic timing of the fact that we just interviewed Jeff Boogaboom, like the one person on the 94 Rangers team that I've talked to. And that happened. That was really cool.
Well, it's funny that you just said that story. It's actually one of my Oy Vey's. Holy cow. Oh my God. Oy Vey. Holy cow. Oh my God. When I was in Naples, we were at a bar and we ran in. I ran into a few people, like good looking dudes with some girls. We were just trying to, you know, have a good time. We went up, we had a conversation. One dude said he played hockey and said he was from Long Island. So I acted like I was best friends with like Adam Fox, which not
got
true.
Got to.
And then I brought up you, and then he said, "Wait, stop. Are you part of the locker room with Laz?" And I was like, he knows you too, Cap, but it's like he's friends with.
Oh, Laz. Dude. Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, you know Laz? And he's like, yeah. And he's like gone all over his voice, like, "This guy's the man." And me and my buddy, we just all night hung out with them. It was like kind of cool. I was at one point, Cap, if you ever play against these guys in hockey, you have to shut them out. I told them that there is not a chance that they would score a goal.
Yeah, you definitely got to. I was curious to see what team do you say they were part of, Laz?
Colorado College. My friend Troy Conzo.
Just a bunch of guys on vacation down there,
really cool dude.
Which is pretty cool. And yeah, I'm sure I'll play against some of them in a few years once they're done at CC.
What Max did leave out of that conversation, though, is that him meeting Troy and like dropping my name led to a series of drunk texts from Max, like throughout the entire night. Like, "Yo, I love you. You're the man." Like 10 texts. Like it was nonstop. But it's nice to see Max. It's nice to see you out of the house having some fun.
Yeah.
Well, did you tell them? Did they think that you played hockey as well?
At first they asked me and I was just like, no.
Yeah.
I was in like a Weble lie saying I was like boys with Adam Fox. I was like, I'm not gonna go and make like the Charlotte spider web right now.
I'm already in a web of lies.
It was fun. Like my buddy Ben like looked at me, he's like, "Dude, this is nuts." Like I'm not kidding. I kind of felt like a celebrity.
Love that.
That's just fun. Socializing, man.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. But since we're in the Oy Vey topic, and I think this was the first time I haven't gone first in Oy Vey in quite some time, or maybe ever. Guys, I'm going to save mine for last now. So you go and do yours.
Okay, I'll go. Former locker room guest and friend of the program, Simon Wool, DM'd this like tweet to me and Max over this past, I guess, weekend. And, you know, he said you guys should like look into this or whatever. So I'll just read the tweet that he sent to us. The name on Twitter is Gyanendra Mishra. And the tweet says, random experiment. I'll fund 1 month of an Airbnb for your startup slash hustle in Goa Dharamshala for an early team, in parentheses, 3 to 4 people. Just like this tweet and comment with your landing page. And I'll run a random function on the people who like this and pick a winner on April, on the 12th of April. So I'm like, okay, that'd be sick if the three of us can go live in an Airbnb somewhere. I didn't like think about where it was or whatever. Yeah. And I reply to Simon, where is Goa and Dharamshala? And he like didn't know. He just like sent it to us and was like, dude, throw in the locker room website. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. You know, thinking like he did the background check, but it's in fucking India. Like,
you could see us out here, the name of it.
Yeah. Like, but I didn't read it. I was like, oh, Simon sent this. I'll just do it. Like,
I jumped the gun.
Yeah. Thinking like he knew, you know? So I just like immediately didn't think, put in the locker room website. We might actually win this thing. So we could be in India in like a month or two.
That'd be unreal. Take the locker room to India.
I would never go to India. No chance.
Well, if whoever does the function that reads this, we might go to India.
Yeah. We might go to India. Yeah. What's yours, Cap?
Well, yeah, to close out a little Oyve, I thought I'd ask you guys a quick question. So we actually had a day off.
I don't think there's been an episode where you didn't say little Oyve.
Little Oyve, you think so? I love it. I just always say like the thing is I use that phrase so much. It's like a little Oyve action, a little this, a little that.
I want to get a medley of you saying little Oyve from like every episode.
Little, just like
really. All right, sorry, continue.
No, you're good. So we had a couple of days off after our long weekend of games that I didn't play this past weekend. And we're actually able to drink with the boys and stuff like that. I was playing a couple outdoor drinking games. And I was just like, man, there's so many good ones. Like, what's one of your guys' favorites? I'll start. Like, so we were playing beer darts this weekend, which is just a classic game we played in college all the time, which I love. And then my favorite outdoor game probably by far is beer die, where you throw the, you guys know, throw the die up on the table. Regardless, classic drinking game. What's your guys' couple of your guys' favorites though?
Well, you said beer darts. That's just when you drink and play darts, or is this a?
No. Okay, so let me explain. So beer darts.
Please do. Sitting, I love drinking games.
Three chairs, or however many chairs on each side, like across from each other, probably about I'd say like 20 feet apart, and you have a can of beer or a can of whatever you're drinking in between your legs, and everybody has a dart, and you throw it at the beer can, and if you hit it, you finish the beer. And basically there's like three lives and stuff like that. And you switch off. It's so fun.
Oh, that actually sounds
yeah, it sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really fun. But what are you guys, a couple of your guys' favorite games?
I'm sure this game has like many different names. But my favorite game to play is, I'm taking this back. There's a clear cut. This is outside, right?
Yeah.
Outside Pong, but not Pong. I'm saying paddle. You alternate. And it's kind of like beer die, except
like from what's the movie?
Beer Fest. Yeah.
Oh.
We played it like all the time in college, and it's so much fun. And like the way it works, like if you play one game, you're good. You're good to go out.
I'm going with Slip and Flip.
Slip and flip, classic.
Slip and slide in the backyard. You slip down, chug your beer, flip the cup, run back, tag your buddy. He slides down, she slides down, whatever it is. Nothing beats that on a nice summer day.
You just want to take your shirt off and show the ladies, don't you?
Not anymore. Maybe 2 years ago.
You guys ever seen Norbit?
Ooh, I'm
I love sliding. Norbit, yeah.
I'm sliding.
I'll show you how a bitch go down a slide.
But
wait, 165, how you doing?
Guys, before we kick it over to Buka Boomsy, which is my new name, I guess I'm calling him, I do want to talk about one of our wonderful sponsors, Bagel Boss. When thinking about Long Island bagels, there's no place you want to think about besides Bagel Boss. They have everything you need, bagels, bialys, bakery delicacies for every occasion, your bar mitzvah, your wedding, it does not matter. Passover, who cares? They ship out of state. These guys are phenomenal. Please visit their website, bagelofthemonth.com. And please don't forget to use our code ALAKA for 10% off. Other than that, we really hope you guys enjoy this interview with Jeff Bookaboom. It was amazing, and I can't wait to hear you guys' feedback on it.
Let's do it. This guy grew up in Lindsay, Ontario, and has been to bar mitzvahs but never got bar mitzvahed himself. He's a four-time Stanley Cup champion, winning through the Edmonton Oilers and one with our New York Rangers. And just like me, he's a Maccabee silver medalist, which we'll get into. But welcome to the Locker Room Podcast, NHL legend Jeff Hoogaboom. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Great. Thanks for having me.
So what are you up to these days? Are you still involved in hockey? I mean, are you, or are you a male model now? You got the high top fade going. Pretty good.
No, I still work for the Rangers. I'm a scout for them. I've been employed by them since 2012, something like that. And done all different things, coaching, scouting. So still trying to help them get back to the Stanley Cup.
Well, I'm actually a little offended because I did play Division I hockey and you never recruited me to the Rangers, which would have been a dream come true. So, we'll put that behind us.
Yeah, not too many Division I 18-year-olds are getting. So, actually, but there's a big market, obviously, you probably know, for guys who graduate and becomes free agents. You see a lot of guys getting picked up by teams and then, some of them make it.
Half the Rangers blue line is college guys now.
Yeah, exactly. And they're different paths. I always say to, when I interview players or prospects, I always tell them this is, there's no set way. There's no, there's people who get to the NHL and you don't know how it ever happened and because of the path they take, but it happens. You just gotta, just like anything else in life, take advantage of a break maybe or keep working on it.
So are you in New York right now?
No, I live in Port Perry, Ontario.
Okay.
So so we do all our work generally through video. Right now we have different video applications that we can watch players play, prospects, stuff like that. But I have been doing the month of March, which is ending obviously today. I've been doing some pro scouting for the American League because of Rangers can't bring their staff into Ontario. So they're, mm-hmm. I live here. So, and I've done this before. So they said, go out and watch some American League games and, do some reports on some guys. And then trade deadline is looming, obviously. And, you get as much information on everything and see where it takes you.
Yeah. That's been one of the craziest things about this NHL season is the fact that I remember the Line A trade with Columbus and Dubois, they had to quarantine for 2 weeks because they were crossing the border. It's so bizarre this year.
One guy did. The other guy didn't.
Remember? Who, Dubois had to quarantine, right? Yeah,
but Liney, he was a lot less than 2 weeks. I'm pretty sure of that. But maybe I'm wrong there.
Yeah, he might have been. But it's just crazy with the whole border thing and how the Canadian teams are just playing each other. And I mean, it's been cool. I've been enjoying it watching the All-Canadian division. I'm sure you as a Canadian, you must be loving that too, no?
Yeah, well, I've watched more Ranger hockey than I've ever have. Because usually you'd be out. The OHL games, whatever, and unfortunately the OHL hasn't started up, but it's very weird when you go to American Hockey League game and you're like, Belleville of the AHL plays where the Ottawa Senators play, and you go in a game and they put you up in this private box with all the other scouts, and there's probably 10 of us and there's 15 feet between us, we all have masks on. Mm-hmm. And you're watching this game from way up high and there's no one in the stadium. It's pretty unusual to experience that. And then, same with going to the Marlies games in Toronto at the Coca-Cola Coliseum. There's nobody there. And you're watching these games and it's odd. It's very odd.
I mean, do you follow college hockey at all too or no?
Yes, a little bit. Yeah. We obviously we have players playing college hockey that we draft. As 18-year-olds, generally, not too many get drafted out of college. There's a few, but generally, Eichel was obviously playing college, but generally they're mostly, this year's draft, there's probably three guys might get drafted in the top 10 that are playing in Michigan. So mm-hmm. I've been watching their video, and then you know of other guys in the past that have been drafted that played in World Juniors, like Holloway was in Wisconsin, I think, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And you watch some video on him in his draft years. So, and they played at different U.S. development programs or USHL. They come from all walks of life. So, yeah, well aware of it, but not as aware of that as OHL.
Yeah, it's actually super sad what happened to Michigan, how they couldn't compete in the NCAA tournament, if you saw that. That sucks. But, yeah, that team is absolutely loaded for the next couple of years. But I do want to clear up some confusion because, you know, we have a mutual friend in common, Jesse Pollock, great guy with TSN and Bar Down. And when we had Jesse on, I just assumed that you were Jewish because I saw that you coached in the Maccabi games. Jesse speaks so highly of you and talks a lot, says a lot of great things about that experience. But I want to hear from your perspective. How did that come to be? Like, how were you named the head coach of a, you know, Jewish Canadian team?
Yeah, well, it was interesting because I'm trying to recall exactly. I got a phone call. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure it's from Steve Thomas. And he was, I think it was Steve Simmons from the Sun contacted him and asked him if he wanted to do it and if he knew anyone else that would do it. So, and Steve contacted me and we went over and I said, sure, you know, 16 days over in Israel and, you know, go over there. He explained what it was for the most part because I was unaware of it. I didn't know there was this Jewish Olympic hockey tournament, whatever they called it. And
Jewish World Juniors.
Yeah, exactly. So I said, yeah, no, it sounds neat. And I talked to my wife and it says, you know, 16 days. And it was great because you went over there with all these different families and players. Most of the families came with them. And, you know, we got to talk to them, got to see the different Israel, learn more and more about the culture and, you know, everything that came with the, you know, the different problems and along the years of history and the Jewish culture. And went to the Holocaust Museum there, traveled around, checked out all the different historic sites, you know, learned about all the different conflict. It was really interesting.
And Jesse told us that you stuck out like a sore thumb in Israel since most of us Jews are pretty short and you're what, like 6'5"?
Yeah.
220?
Yeah, 6'5". And it's funny when you know, like you said, there's not a lot of tall. There is some tall, but they're not, it's not as common as Dutch, which is my where I'm from.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I could imagine you walking through Israel and everyone just staring up at you like, who the fuck is this guy?
Yeah, exactly. Basically. Probably. And not only that, it's not like I'm 6'5 and skinny. I'm 6'5, pretty heavy.
Yeah, but it's funny. Jesse told us to bring up the time, I guess, well, that specific tournament when you guys beat the U.S. in the semis. And it's funny to think about like how big the Canada-U.S. hockey rivalry is, like, you know, in the Olympics and the World Juniors, and then it carries over into Israel and into the desert. Like, it's pretty funny to think about.
Well, it was, because for me, it was a whole new experience, obviously. And, you know, we were the underdogs, and I just give them like a Lou Brockney speech and, you know, saying, well, whatever, got nothing to lose. So let's go out there and play like we can and, you know, leave it out there. And you'll remember this forever. It was similar to Mike Keenan's speech he gave to us when we won the Stanley Cup in 94.
You're going to compare those two?
Yeah, no, I can't compare the two. But for these players, it was important. Yeah. You know, it was a big deal to do go over there and do this. And for us, it was fun. Like you said, not just the experience, but the people, the players, the atmosphere, and you know, in general, you know, for me, I'm a bit of a history buff when it comes to war and second, first world war, stuff like that. So obviously I got to learn more and more about, you know, how bad it was for the Jewish people and how the, you know, stuff I more or less knew, but it just dug in a little deeper.
Well, I saw you posted for Hanukkah this year on your Instagram. That was pretty nice. I like seeing that.
I don't have Instagram. I don't
know. You don't?
No, I do not.
That's not your account?
It's not my account. There's different people out there that have used my name or on Instagram or other social platforms. I don't. My wife has she has a Snapchat and some other things, but she just does it to follow family and nieces and nephews and kid and our kids sort of thing. But I don't have any Instagram whatsoever.
All right. Well, you're telling me. I've been following Jeff Boom 23, and it's not you.
It's not me. Definitely not me, because I'm telling you, it's not me. That's happened in the past a few times.
We'll give you credit, though. We'll say if you had an Instagram, you would have posted up.
If it's good, yes. I'll take
credit. Yes, if it's good. Of course.
If it's not good, I don't want to take any credit for it.
Well, I'm dying now because I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like, Buka Boom posted Happy Hanukkah with like a menorah. And now it's like, oh, no, not him.
It's funny. My wife and I, we have a live here in Uxbridge, Port Perry. And a good friend of ours is a Jewish woman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here in outside of Toronto, it's basically white country, I guess. Yeah. There's not a lot of minorities, and she's the only Jewish person I met in this area. Uh-huh. And we have to be good friends with her. So, you know, it is what it is.
Well, there must have been none when you were playing in Edmonton, at least from what I would assume.
Yeah, there wasn't much. Even growing up where I grew up in my small town, there was, you know, it was basically white majority community. And going to Edmonton, it wasn't much different, even though, you know, it's changed. It's a little more multiculturalism now there, but not where I came from.
And then you spend 8 to 9 years in New York playing for the Rangers, and all of a sudden you go to the 10 bar mitzvahs a year.
Well, it's amazing when you go to New York. And again, it was a bit of a culture shock. Our two youngest were born there. Mm-hmm. And then they started going to nursery school, and then started school there. And there's a lot of Jewish people there. Mm-hmm. In that area. We were in Rye, New York, in Westchester. And then, you know, and you go from one town to the next, and there's just, you know, like Scarsdale is all Jewish.
Yeah, Scarsdale is all Jewish. Yeah.
And then go to Rye, and there's Jewish, but there's a little bit of everything there. And then you go to other towns, like you go to Portchester, and it's very Mexican. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was odd to see that, but it was great to learn, you know, to see what it's like and living in different parts of the world and understanding what works and what doesn't work and, you know, what this is all about.
Well, on that note, one of our really good friends and a good friend of this podcast, Adam Fox, you obviously follow the Rangers closely.
Oh, yeah.
He's wearing 23 now. I grew up with Adam, played with him my whole life. Like, we grew up 5 minutes away from each other, but it's really cool hearing comparisons about Fox and Lindgren, comparing like those two to you and Leach. So what do you think of that comparison? Like, I mean, Foxy, I don't know if Foxy plays your game necessarily. Lindgren might be the Buka Boom in this situation.
Yeah.
But, you know, how cool has it been to watch him develop? I mean, he's having a crazy year.
Well, it's great to see, you know, the work you put in as an organization, to see it and then make, you know, in both those situations where you make a deal and for both those players, and they both come in and perform as expected, if not above. And to see them have the success, and the team has success because of them. Like last night, you know, Foxy's goal was, you know,
so sick.
You know, great pass by Panarin, but, you know, great finish by him. And you watch, it seems like every game he's gotten better and he's getting used to the league and he's improving. And now they're, you know, like you said, the comparison between him and Brian Leetch, and then they're talking about the last month, he might be the best defenseman in the league and so on. You know, so that's great for the Rangers and Ranger fans, and obviously for him too. And to see Lindgren also, and, you know, the story between those two being, I think they were roommates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at NTDP.
On the program, and then, you know, played together there, and now they're in the NHL together. So that's pretty impressive. And to see, you know, there's some similarities there, obviously, other than the size between Lindgren and myself, and even Brian and Fox. I'd say there's quite a few comparisons there. Obviously, Fox got a long way to go to compete against Leach's legacy, but, you know, it's a great start. Good for them. And it's exciting to see some of these young players go into New York and perform the way they have.
I mean, the coolest thing for me, especially and my family, and I'm sure other families around, I'm in the Long Island area. Yep. So, you know, we turn on the TV, we listen to Sam Rose and Joe Micheletti, and occasionally our good friend Kenny Albert, and yep, they're always talking about Adam, and we hear Fox's name constantly. And it's like, it's really cool just to, you know, a kid who grew up right around us is just being talked about all the time on the broadcast. And it's yep, been a lot of fun to watch him.
Yeah. Well, he's, like you said, I was listening to the broadcast, was it last night? And they were I think it was a broadcast, might have been reading about it. And they're talking about the first game he played in Traverse City. Mm-hmm. He got 5 assists the first game there. And then, you know, GM goes, he might not be seeing anything but the NHL and then some. And, you know, now, like you said, the Brian Leach comparisons, and you know, which are valid to a certain extent. I always say, and I'm not trying not to be biased, because my first defense partner was a Hall of Famer in Paul Coffey in Edmonton, and then
pretty solid.
Yeah, not bad. So then I got traded to New York, and right away was paired with Brian. And mm-hmm. I always say that Brian, in my estimation, was the most underrated player I've ever played with. People mm-hmm. Just seeing the offense and everything else. He was so competitive. He would block shots. You'd see him go in a corner with a guy my size, and he was, what, maybe 6 feet. And he always came out with a puck, and he battled. And people don't understand how good he was, I think. And to see, you know, them comparing to Fox. Fox is similar, too. Like, he outthinks you. You know, he's just so smart. You can see the mind's always working. He's always thinking, you know, he's like Gretz, you know, thinking ahead of the play, you know, what's the next, you know, what's two moves down the street sort of thing, as opposed to what's happening right now. So it's great to see, like you said, again, these young guys coming into their own or getting better.
Well, you brought up Edmonton also, and I'm very curious, because obviously playing in Edmonton and playing in New York are night and day, I'm sure, as far as the atmosphere of the cities go.
Yeah.
So I always tell people too, like, I wish I could have grown up like 20 to 30 in the 90s, because that was the best time for New York sports. And I fell in love with hockey, like watching you guys, Leach, Graves, Messier, you know,
yeah,
all those guys. And I was born in 96, so just like, you know, that early era there. But yeah. I mean, just can you tell us the biggest difference as a professional athlete, like coming from a, you know, a city like Edmonton, where you win 3 Stanley Cups, and then winning in New York City? Like, that's got to be the best feeling, you know, as an athlete.
Yeah. Well, you know, you go from Midwest Canada, and, you know, I was drafted there in 83. So then I was there for all the Cups. I was only on the team for the last 3. So the first 2, they called me up from junior, and I experienced it and everything else. But when you're comparing, you know, New York to Edmonton, there's quite a big difference. And not only that, Madison Square Garden. When you mm-hmm. go play in Madison Square Garden, it's unique. It's a different, you know, it's the most famous rink in the world, as they say. And when you go walk in there and you go in and play on that ice surface and you win a championship, it's just second to none. Not to belittle what happened in Edmonton, because it was pretty amazing teams, and you know, just the names, you go through the names and how many Hall of Famers are there, and I've been fortunate to play with a lot. But these guys, you know, but when you win in New York, there's nothing better, I would say. And I was a bigger part of the Rangers than I ever was Edmonton. And, you know, I'm proud of to be drafted by one and traded to another and be part of things, and it's exciting. It was really a thrill, and it's great to have these experiences and these people to lean back on and, you know, call your teammates and your friends.
The way New York sports is, it's a lot, it's very split. Like, when it comes to the Rangers and the Islanders, it's like 60-40 probably favoring the Rangers. Same with like Jets, Giants, Yankees, Mets. Now, as somebody that's won a championship and has gone through a parade, I've never witnessed a Knicks championship, but with the Knicks, it's like 90-10. Mm-hmm. How ridiculous would it be if there was no Islanders, it was just everybody was a Ranger fan, you guys just won the championship? What's the city looking like?
Well, I'm sure it'd be close to what it was. You know, people, mm-hmm. like you said, we're too young to remember, like, I was born before, but the original 6, you know, if they, you know, the Rangers won back in 1970, I'm sure it would have been a gong show down Broadway. But at the same time, it was for us. Mm-hmm. You know, the fans got behind us, the city got behind us. You know, I always, you guys might not remember, but I've seen video, and you've probably seen of the, you know, after World War II, when they come back in the city, you know, have these parades and, you know, all these different parades that were documented in history. And to be able to make that same route down Broadway and to go to the mansion and meet with the mayor and do all those things, get a key to the city, you know, it's just, you can't explain what it's like. It's, when you win in New York, it's a different caliber of winning. There's such a thing, because, you know, it's New York City. Everyone knows what New York City is. You know, I'm Edmonton, people know about Edmonton, but not like New York City. There's no comparison.
That picture of you guys in the tour bus is so sick with like just the all white, everyone in the background in the city, like packed.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah,
my God,
yeah.
That picture is so sick.
Yeah. I remember, you know, when the day of the parade, so we all go in and meet at the MSG and then we go down, I think it was Battery Park and met there. And I still remember getting on the floats we had and going down Broadway and just thinking to myself, this is unbelievable. The fact that I get to go down this drive, this famous street, down this famous city, where people celebrate what we did. And, you know that, you know, all these Yankees, all these Giants teams, you know, all these championship teams, and then all these famous people too, mm-hmm. you know, presidents, you know, I'm on the same ground they were on, and I'm doing the same what they are. And to have that experience is special, you know, because you don't get that too often, if ever. A lot of people never have that experience. And to just stand there and take it all in, you see the ticker tape and everything coming down from the different buildings and the people cheering, and you know, and you're not being, there's the sidewalks are jammed, and you know, it's pretty special. It's something that I'll remember forever.
I was just gonna say, the way you just described that gave me chills when you just compared like of the big public figures and other legends going through it, and then you when describing how you were soaking it in. Not gonna lie, I got
people don't realize. I don't know if you remember though, like Knicks lost in Game 7 that same year. Mm-hmm. So the fact that if we won and then they won right after us, that would have been pretty amazing. The championship might have had a little shine taken off of it, the Knicks won, mm-hmm. but that's fine. You know, we were cheering for them, obviously, and the city was too. But the fact that we, like you said, able to do some of that historic route and to be celebrated for, that's pretty amazing.
Did you get to sit courtside in any of those Knick games?
No, we were, well, basically, I think some of you know, the bigger wheels did. But, you know, I didn't live in the city a lot, like Leach did, Messier, some other guys did, and I think they went to some of the games. But at the same time, we were so busy and so involved in our run that we didn't have a chance probably to be around for a lot of them, the games anyway, because they'd probably play when we weren't there and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Something I'm super curious about, I know hockey players get after it pretty hard off the ice, but it's changed a little bit in today's game. I think, you know, guys aren't as, let's say, going to the bars as much, I feel like, because the game, like, players now are just so disciplined. Like, it's mm-hmm. kind of crazy. I mean, at least the guys I've played with. But I want to hear, like, what your best, like, NHL bar story is. I feel like you have so many good ones. If you can share.
I'm just, well, what we did, people don't realize, when we won a cup, it was the first time any Russians' names got on the cup.
Oh, so really?
Nemchinov, Kovalov, Zubov, and Karpatsov.
I know that.
Karpatsov died in that plane crash in Russia, unfortunately. I don't even know how long ago that was. He was one of the coaches that Brad McCrimmon.
The locomotive team?
Yes. So unfortunately, and we had a 25-year reunion a couple years ago, and his wife and daughter were there, which was amazing. But so during the season, my wife and I got to be pretty close with Nemchinov, and he took us to these Russian restaurants in Brighton Beach.
Yeah,
Brighton Beach. And, you know, it was just, it's nothing we've experienced before. You know, these, you know, you'd sit at this table and you couldn't see the table, all the food and everything. And they'd have this ice vodka sitting there and you'd have a bite and you know, eating like the table, you couldn't see the table. And then the plates, as soon as you add like a couple of things off the plate, they take the plate away and then put a new plate on. And that was the whole night was that. And then they had, people would perform. So it was like an all night affair. And you get there at 6 a.m. and you leave at 3. I mean, 6 p.m. you leave at 3 sort of thing. And
I was going to say, yeah, that'd be a long day.
Yeah, and if you wanted to stay for breakfast, you could. And it was just wild. So the team did it. So we did it as a team after we won and brought the cup there with us. And, you know, it was pretty amazing. And, you know, there's so many different stories. I had two young kids, so I wasn't the best guy to tell a story about all the partying and stuff like that. But we went over afterwards. We had a celebration at a bar called Auction House was one of friends of ours named Johnny B. He ran it. And we in there, I remember we all had limos, the team guys limos after for a couple of days just so we could get to things. And we went to turn down the street, I think it was 89th Street. And we turned down the street and it just jammed with fans. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got as close as we could, got out and, you know, trying to get into this private celebration for the team, which, you know, all our family, friends, the players, manager, you know, coaches, everyone was there. So it was, you know, it was fun to be able to be around everyone and be part of things. And obviously, you know, it was personal too for the team.
And I know we talked about it before recording, but I need to hear the origin of the garden chanting boo at you whenever you're on the ice. Well, because yeah. Now it turned into Zuccarello, like we did it for Zuc when he was with the team. I don't know if anyone gets it now, but how'd that start? I mean, that like you must have been so confused the first time that happened.
Not so much confused because when you play the game, you don't realize what's being said or what they're cheering stuff about. So for me, people don't realize, like, when I was traded there, I was traded, so I was part of the Messier deal. Mm-hmm. I was traded with Mark, and I came, like, a month to 6 weeks later. So I actually went in and played against Mark as an Oiler before I was traded there. And I remember we just about got in a fight. And I remember Ty Domi yelling at me because I was hitting him. I was playing against him a lot. And so after the game, we met up with him and Kevin Lowe and I go, okay, let's go talk to Matt. So we went and talked to Matt. I said, I don't know. We didn't get along on ice today. but it was all good. And I think Matt had a little bit of an idea and maybe even Kevin that, okay, I might be part of the deal still. So we had a nice chat and everything, but then get traded there, first game in the garden. And like you said, I remember going in the corner. I forget who we're playing. I might've been Washington and I just labeled a guy right in the corner. And knocked him on his butt, and you know that was what I did.
And you got paid to do that.
Yeah, basically. And you know the fans loved it, and they said boo. And like I said, as a player, you're going okay, whatever. But then after the game, Mark says, "Are they booing you?" And I think my mom might have been watching. She goes, "They're booing my son." Then I realized what was going on. You know, they just that was just their way of cheering me on.
I mean, even now, do you still get chills? Because I was actually lucky enough. I went to Leach's retirement and Graves' jersey retirement, and you walk out on that red carpet, and there's still 20,000 people, like, you know, 15, 20 years later doing it. I mean, is it still the same kind of chills that you would have gotten playing?
Yeah, you know, it's different because playing, like you said, when you get in on the ice and you play, everything blends together, and you get in your own mindset and how, you know, you experience things. Mm-hmm. And you know, if you're a fan there, you can feel we feel the emotion and everything and the noise, but the noise gets drowned out and you try to concentrate on what's at hand, obviously doing your job and trying to keep the puck out of the net and trying to win the game. So when you're when you walk out there in your civvies and with your jersey on and you get some of those celebrations, it's different and you do get your chills and it brings back memories. And then you know, you see all your different teammates and, you know, the Rangers do such a good job with honoring the past and, you know, trying to make sure, you know, people remember what other players have done for this organization, not just us, not just that team, but there's so many great Rangers and great people that are part of the organization still and were. And, you know, they do a good job at that.
Yeah, I remember being like a 13-year-old kid at Leach night when Brian Leach announced that Graves was getting his jersey retired. That was like, even me as a 13-year-old kid, like I got chills. I couldn't even imagine like playing with those guys.
Yeah. You know,
how cool that would be for you.
It's always great to, you know, when you go into a building like that and like Edmonton, you see all those jerseys up there and you say, well, I played with him. I was fortunate to play with him. And, you know, he brings back so many great memories. And the great thing about hockey is most of these guys, well, all the guys I know that have those jerseys up there, they're better people than I am. And they're mm-hmm. great people. They're great ambassadors of the game. And, you know, it was great experience playing and winning with them, obviously.
Well, I know your jersey's retired at TSN and Bardown.
I saw that. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny because Jesse, I obviously rubbed off on him a little bit, and you know, we had fun over in Israel, and you know, he's got a job doing what he does, and I seem to be part of that.
But I'm also another thing, you've dropped obviously a lot of cool names like Leach, Messier, Gretzky. There's a lot of debate, I feel like, you know, in today's NHL, and you know, a lot of NHL analysts always say, like, oh, could Gretzky have done what he did back then in today's NHL? And what do you think about that argument as someone who played with him, you know, for many years? Like, you can't really compare the two different generations, but I mean, just from, you know, a player's perspective, you know, what would you think about that argument?
Well, I don't know. You can't take away what Wayne's done for this game and this team. And I always explain to people when they ask me about Wayne, you know, in my estimation, Wayne was a better person than he was a hockey player. And he was a great hockey player. He's a great person. And unfortunately, Walter just passed recently. And if you ever got a chance, like I'm in debt to those guys so much for, I think, how they shaped me, because I came through that organization as an 18-year-old. I started there. And they, you know, they showed you how to, they took you in the wing. They treated you like a teammate from day one. They never treated you like look at this dumb rookie, or treated you like a rookie. They always treated you like a peer, whether you're playing or not, or whether you're scoring, you know, big part of the team, or the guy's playing 5 minutes and whatever it was. They showed you, look, you're part of this team. This is how we do things. This is what we expect from you. And, you know, you got the opportunity to learn from them, these great people. And that's what it was all about. It was, you know, when you talk about what Wayne did then and what, if he could do it now, it's all hypothetical. And, you know, it's like Bobby Orr. He was my favorite growing up. Could he do it? You know, maybe, I don't know. But they did what they did. You can't take that away from them. And whether they could do it now or not, I don't know. It's like, my impression of Wayne is he would always outthink you regardless. Mm-hmm. His natural instincts and his intellect was scary. You know, he was so far ahead of everyone else. He knew where the puck was going to go. He was there before it got there. The puck was to the next spot before you could think. And, you know, the game's changed dramatically, but at the same time, you know, he is the greatest for a reason. You know, you look at the great players like McDavid right now, you know, it's a different era. And there's less room and time and space on that ice right now than there ever was. And what they're capable of doing, I think you just got to appreciate what you have now and appreciate what they did in the past.
Mm-hmm. Kind of off topic, actually, but I did have the chance to play in Israel like 3 years ago in the same tournament that you coached in. And, you know, it's kind of grown a little bit over there. In the gold medal game when we played Canada, there was like 10,000 people in the arena, which is really cool. But Wayne Gretzky actually like made a video for it, like speaking like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, what's up, Jerusalem? Like, Wayne Gretzky, like, happy to see, you know, hockey being played in the desert, like something like that.
Yeah.
And it played in the arena like during the game. We're all like, holy shit, like Wayne Gretzky's talking about Israel. Like, this is sick. But I just thought that was kind of a funny story to bring up. But we do actually do a segment on here called the Motzball Minute, just like some quick hitter questions that my co-host Justin Kappelmaster usually does. I'm going to give a shout out to Cappy. And he's very curious since he's a goalie. He plays in the East Coast League for the Out Americans. He wants to know the best goalie that you played against in your NHL career.
Played against?
Yeah.
I think Hasek would have to be up there. I actually played in the World Junior Championship in 85, and he was on the Czech team.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. And it was really interesting because back then it was still communist. So we'd go to this banquet and they had these guards against around the US, the Russia and the Czech team.
Mm-hmm.
And back then it was like, if you watch the World Juniors now, it's this round robin and then playoff. Back then it was a round robin. That was it.
That's so weird.
So yeah, it was, and we actually won a gold in 1985. But he was the goalie for the Czech. And, you know, back then there was no internet, nothing. You're just playing games. And, like, Tikkanen was on Finland.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was drafted first round by Edmonton. He was second round. But really didn't know each other. Because it wasn't like we went to training camps or anything like that. So it was in Finland, and he was the goalie then. Didn't know much about him, but then obviously playing against him when he was in Chicago, and then, you know, he went to Buffalo, and, you know, he was amazing. And, you know, other than the guys I played with that were in the Hall of Fame, like Richter, Fuhr, and Eddie Moog, that we won cups with, you know, he was probably, you know, the best goalie he played against.
Buffalo could use him right now, huh?
At that time. Yeah, unfortunately for them, yes.
So out of the four Stanley Cups that you won, which is, first of all, insane, which one was your favorite?
Well, it was by far the Rangers. That was my I was a bigger part of that team. You know, when I was traded there with Mark, and then Adam Graves came the month before us two, and then we traded for guys like Kevin Lowe, Esa Tikkanen, Craig McTavish. There were seven, Glenn Anderson. You know, we knew we had, as a group, we had to lead this group to the Stanley Cup and to win it. And we had to go by on our experiences, and obviously some great play by guys like Messin, Leach, Zuboff, mm-hmm. and the list goes on. But, you know, it was special to win in New York. It was special. Whenever you win, it's special. But for me, that experience was better.
I have to give a shout out also. He was my equipment manager in college, but Mike Folga,
mm-hmm.
Late, great Folgs. Yeah. You know, very cool for me. He told me, so I transferred to Mercer my sophomore year from UMass, and I had to sit out for a year. So I would spend every single intermission, because I couldn't play, in Folgs' office.
Yeah.
And he would tell me so many stories about the 94 Rangers and all that stuff. So, you know, he was a great guy, and we definitely missed him.
He was at our reunion. He actually came, and, you know, he wasn't doing well at that time. Talked to him quite a bit, and, you know, very, you know, at that time of his life, he knew he didn't have a lot of time left.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, he was so positive and upbeat at that time when, you know, I'm sure, and the stories he would tell, it's amazing when you get around all those different guys and you hear them tell the same story and how they remember it compared to how you remember it, and how you would explain things and how they see it. And so, yeah, it was, unfortunately, you know, that's life, but, you know, in that situation, and, you know, I'm sure he told you stories I probably don't know about.
Yeah. He was the best. He, so like I said, I couldn't play, and in between periods, he loved to make his own moonshine, and he would give it to us like in the training room, like in intermission, like while the game was going on. He was the best, man. He was awesome.
Yeah.
But on top of that, I guess on that kind of note, who's like your favorite teammate that you've ever played with? Not necessarily hockey skill wise, just like, you know, kind of having fun, like locker room guy.
Oh, I don't. There were so many. I think, you know, every year it seems like there's a guy that fits that description, and then you get to be closer with some others, and because of, you know, wives and, you know, acquaintances, but there's always someone. Like, I remember stories of Kevin McCollum. He was a guy down the road you'd always remember. Story, you know, it's like you play with those guys where, you know, when you meet with a teammate and says, yeah, remember so-and-so? It's always so-and-so. And Kevin McCollum's like, so-and-so, he was a whack job and interesting character. And a great story about him, he was one of them, but there's more than one. But this was in Edmonton. And I remember, so Al May was trying out for the team. You know, I don't know if you know who Al May is. He does color for Washington right now. And, you know, he was a tough kid and everything. So some smack was being talked about it in the bars or whatever in Edmonton during the summer. So training camp comes around, and we get on ice. Literally, we get on ice for first practice.
Mm-hmm.
And I made one lap, and I'm looking, they're fighting in the corner before the puck was dropped or even coached. And then we're doing the line rushes or, you know, some drills, and at the back of the line, they're fighting again. So, you know, stories like that.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, personalities like that. There's so many of those, and there's so many great people. And, you know, Eddie Olchuk for us in New York that year in 94, it was such a positive influence on his teammates and his team. You know, and they're so important to those teams, even though like Eddie be the first time, so he didn't play every game, but you know, he was such a enlightening person to be around for someone who was in and out of lineup a little bit. And you know, there was one great story with Eddie. He goes, he used to call me Farmer because I grew up on a dairy farm.
Yep.
So he called me Farmer. So I remember one practice, and Keenan and him were butting heads all the time, it seemed. And so one practice, he hits me, and I thought it was a little dirty. So I tomahawk him over the legs with my stick, and I'm pissed. And, you know, we're swearing, cursing each other. And then after practice, everything's fine. So anyway, 6 weeks go by, and he comes up to me and goes, Farmer. I go, yeah. I go, yeah, Eddie. He goes, remember 6 weeks ago we got in that, hustle, tussle in the practice stuff? And I said, yeah, I remember it. He goes, I just want to thank you. I said, why? He goes, because I haven't been out of the lineup since. those type of stories are, you know, like you said, and you could go through every year and every team and every all your teammates, you can find stuff of that all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's what you got to do to get in the lineup, though. It doesn't really happen anymore.
Well, yeah, back then it was different, right? You know, you had Keenan who ran the, you know, you couldn't do what he did.
Yeah.
Now he's just, you know, and he'd be the first to tell you that probably.
I got to ask about Mike Hartman also. I got the chance to talk to him a little bit. I know he's Jewish. He's a member, but just, you know, playing with him. I've talked to him briefly, but seems like an awesome guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he was the same as Eddie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was in and out of lineup, and Keenan picked on him every once in a while. And Eddie picked, you know, they'd have fun together, but, you know, those guys were, you know, the guys that would keep us and they wouldn't get too far down, and they'd always stay ready for when it's their turn to play. Mm-hmm. And Mike was the same way. You know, he didn't play a lot, but when he played, he was all in, and you know, he's a big part of that team.
So the next question, we love college hockey on this podcast since, you know, we played, but if you could have played in the NCAA, what school would you have picked?
Oh, I don't know what school I would have picked, but I always, and I said this to Brian Leach a few times, is the one regret I have is, and partially it's my fault, but in the junior ranks, you play your time. I was in Sault Ste. Marie, which is a long way away from here. It's like 8-hour drive. And you know, we had some really good teams. Like I played with Rick Tockett, Bob Probert, and, you know, Derek King. But you don't, in junior, you don't have that alumni. You don't have that following after, you know, where you go back and you meet with your old team or the, you know, your university. And that's what I regret is I wish I could have been able to do that. I just got some information on maybe a reunion in Sault Ste. Marie. Unfortunately, I won't be able to go to it, but you know, it's been too long. It's been like, it's been 30 some years.
Yeah, wow.
40 years almost. So, you know, that's too long, is unfortunately. But you talk to a guy like Brian Leach, he went to BC College, and you know, he still keeps in touch with all these guys. He's got this alumni, he's got this networking thing, and I think that's so important. And that's one thing I probably missed out on. And if I wanted to do it over again, and I think I'd have the same type of career and same success and same championship, you know, I think it'd be a great experience to try it or do it that way.
Are your kids in college, or are they going? Or
my son played junior, and he was drafted by Tampa, and he's just finished a season. He's been playing in Europe for 3 years, so he just finished his season in Denmark. My oldest daughter, she plays rugby for Team Canada.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
athletic family, huh?
Yeah, so she's they won the last. They finished fifth the last World Championships in the year. The one before that, they won gold or silver. Yeah, but anyway, she's been doing that for about 10 years now.
I that's a sport I still just have never been able to understand.
Yeah, it's pretty big from where my little town, we're in Lindsay, Ontario, because the rugby club is just down from my old farm, and my brothers live there, and their kids all play. Like I had my one nephew just retired. He was on a Canadian team, rugby national team, and then his younger brother is probably going to be playing there soon. but there's a lot of kids that went to that rugby club that had played on the men's team. And my daughter, like I said, she's on the women's team. So, you know, you get to, you know, rugby, and my oldest brother, he's been in rugby forever, and their kids, and, you know, it's a big part of their lives and what they do for the recreational stuff.
Does your daughter play like you did in hockey? Is she, you know, tough as shit?
Yeah. Pretty much. She went to university, St. Effects here, which is out in Eastern Canada, and she won a couple of national championships. And she was, but she's tough. She's in, and my son's more of a skater, really, he's probably a better athlete than I ever was. He's quite as tall as me, but he's 6'2". And like I said, he's very good athletically and very good skater, a lot better than I ever was. My daughter actually played hockey 1 year college too, and she was along the lines of me. So
mm-hmm. It's very cool. I mean, I'm sure it's really cool for you to see your kids having success, you know, in their sports also.
But, yeah, and, you know, we exposed them to everything, and they played everything under the sun, and, you know, they really enjoyed the sports part of things, and it was a big part of my life. And my wife actually was, she was right into it when she grew up also.
So we got one last question before we let you go. I mean, first of all, thank you for your time. Like, it's been awesome to talk to you.
Yeah,
such a cool thing.
Oh, my pleasure.
For me, especially just growing up as a Ranger fan and, you know, following you, you know, basically my entire life. But one piece of advice for young hockey players, you know, you kind of just said you're like not regret, but one thing you wish you could have done was go to college. You know, the game's changed a lot and the development's changed a lot. So what would you just tell, you know, young kids?
Well, I think in today's sport, it seems like everyone's playing one sport, doing one thing, and, you know, putting all their focus and time on that. I would say, you know, especially the younger you are, get out there and do other things, you know, expand your horizons when it comes to different sports. You'll probably make that primary sport you choose at the end of the day better for you. You know, because you're going to, as opposed to just playing hockey 12 months out of the year and doing all these different teams. So like my kids, they played everything, like rugby, football, everything. And then when it was time to, okay, we got to concentrate on one sport, they would. But, you know, I think it made them better people, better teammates, and better athletes for doing different things and being part of different organizations, different you know, whether it's baseball, football, whatever, different teams and different athletics. It helped them down the road in the one that they primarily play now.
I mean, I couldn't agree more. Like, growing up for me, I got to play, you know, basketball, soccer, lacrosse, like everything. And I know it's changed a lot now, and parents are definitely focused on like putting their kids in one sport. But, you know, I think it's just, it kind of makes you like a more well-rounded person too, I feel like, when you're involved in all these different kind of sports.
And you're going to meet so many more different people in different sports and personalities, different, you know, parents, you know, and your friendships are going to grow differently, but, you know, you're going to learn so much more about who you are and what you are and what they're all about and how, you know, what makes them work. And, you know, it's just a great to be a part of things like that.
Yeah. And seriously, we can't thank you enough. Like, it's been an honor to talk to you. Definitely stay in touch or whatever. And look forward to who you recruit for the Rangers in the coming future. We got to get a cup back to New York.
Yeah. Well, we're excited. The organization is pretty excited so far with this young group that's really starting to establish themselves, you know, especially from the goaltending out. So the goalie's been amazing. You know, unfortunately, he was a little hurt, or else maybe it'd be further ahead right now. But I appreciate it. It's great to meet you guys. I'm going to have to talk to Jesse and
Thank you for coming on. I actually think maybe Jesse's the one running your fake Instagram account.
Oh, probably. Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it is. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. But like I said, as long as he stays classy, right? Stay classy, San Diego. Like
stay classy, San Diego, yeah. Ron Burgundy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Book. Appreciate it. I feel like I can
call
you.
No problem, guys. Great. Good luck with things. Take care.
Greatest last name ever.
Well, you know, I got to thank my dad for that.
All right.
Take care, guys.
See ya.
Okay, bye.
Welcome back, everybody. What an amazing interview with Jeff Bookaboom. I'm sorry I couldn't make it. I was playing hockey. Surprisingly, we had an absolute hockey legend on, and I missed it. So upset, but it is what it is. But what a last name on the guy. Thought Capital Master was cool, but Bookaboom's got to be the coolest one all around in the NHL I've heard in quite some time. But what did you think of John? What did you think of him, Johnny?
I think it's so funny that out of the two New York Rangers that we've had on our podcast, like both wore 23. I wore 23, wasn't on the Rangers, whatever. My mom's going to, you know, say something about that later. But definitely awesome to have Bookaboom on. Like, I've known his name my entire life as a Ranger fan, just to talk to him, you know, in a Zoom or whatever it was. But to share that moment with, you know, talking about my equipment manager at Mercier, Mike Folgo, who was the equipment manager for the 94 Rangers, was really cool because I've heard so many stories from folks. And just to hear, you know, Jeff talk about him was really cool for me. But I mean, not much else to say. Like, literally just an NHL legend, four-time Stanley Cup champion, talking to the boys in the locker room.
Yeah, I know.
I'm better.
Gotta love it. And yeah, my equipment manager for my current team actually brought him up. He was with the Red Wings at a period of time for like their Stanley Cup run where they won 3 out of 5 cups or whatever it was. And he was like saying remarkable things about Bookaboom. Great guy, amazing player, blah, blah, blah. So I know he's excited to listen to the episode. So it'll be his first locker room listen. So pretty exciting.
A lot of pressure on us here. Hopefully he enjoys it.
He's like, what did you guys talk about? Fucking applesauce and shit? I'm like, no.
I do got to give a shout out to our boy Jesse Pollock also at Bar Down and TSN. Jesse just unreal hockey, you know, personality, and helped us get Bookaboom, which is awesome. They're buddies. And
the Squid.
Book coached Jesse in Israel, and to hear Book's side of that story was pretty cool. I know we heard it from Jesse. But I also want to give a shout out to our sponsor, who we love so much, Mindset Wellness CBD. I actually pulled a muscle in my back last week in the gym. Oh. So I've been using the Recharge nonstop. Great for sore muscles. Unreal, I highly recommend it after so the gym. Good. What's that?
So good. Is it not the Recharge?
Yeah, it is the best. It's amazing.
I know. It's so good.
Great for athletes, great for people who go to the gym, amazing for sore muscles. So go to mindsetwellnesscbd.com, get your Recharge right now. Use our code LOCKET10 for 10% off and free shipping. Feel free to check them out on Instagram at mindsetwellnesscbd. I promise you guys will love this product. It's amazing. I use it no less than 5 times a week.
Not as much as I use the Recharge.
Well, you're a pro hockey player. I'd hope you use it more than me. You're working out a lot more than I am.
That is true. That is accurate, but not too much. Not too much working out. You know how Cappy likes his lazy time.
His downtime.
But other than that, we hope you guys really enjoyed the interview with Jeff. We hope you guys have a great weekend.
Love you guys. Here comes the.